continue from our topic where we left off, the Forgotten Beatitude. And we will continue from the book of Matthew chapter 5. We stopped at verse 7 and 8. Before we look into verse 9, I'll just take verse 9 and also verse 14 to 16. And we'll just say a word of prayer once again. Father, we are here once again before your holy temple, even your presence. And the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's liberty from darkness. There's liberty from sin. There's liberty from and deliverance from the shackles of the enemy. And Lord, we have come, Lord, into your presence. And we ask, O Father, that we be liberated today. Send forth your Spirit, O Lord, and carry out your works, Lord. Heal as many that are, Lord, needing your touch. Deliver as many that are oppressed of the enemy. And send forth your peace to the heart of your children. As your word comforts, O Lord, may we be saturated by it, O Lord, and have words of testimony today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
You may be seated. So, this time we want to go further from the foundation. We looked at the foundation of our faith, how that's what God wants, Jesus expects of the church he's building. And once again, another background of this particular chapter, it seems to be the longest sermon that Jesus ever preached. Matthew chapter 5. It started from Matthew chapter 5 and terminated at Matthew chapter 7. And if you read the end verse, before we read the text, I would just like us to look at Matthew chapter 5, chapter 8, is it 8, 7 rather, from verse 24 and to 27. So Matthew chapter, I'll read this, Matthew chapter 8, 7 from verse 24. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So, before we take on continue with our text in Matthew chapter 5, perhaps from verse 9, and connect it with verse 14 to 16, I want to tell us why would Jesus preach this long sermon? And now his end is concluding it with this particular scene about a man that will build his house either upon a rock or upon a sand. So with all of this, he was laying foundation of the church, right? He was laying the foundation of the church. And the church is built upon the reality of God's word. The church is not built upon an ordinary saying. It's not built upon what you learned by reading. Oh, the church is built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? So what revelation? What's the revelation of Jesus Christ? The church is built upon the fact that I know the Godhead. No, that's not it. The revelation of Jesus Christ is personal. You have to understand. You have to believe it. So that's why in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus, when he went to Caesarea Philippi, you know, Caesar was Philippi, the Caesar then was this particular man that loved structure. And he built, in fact, the temple was accrued to him. So when he got there, when he looked at the temple and looked at the things around, he turned to his disciples and decided to ask, because he wanted to make a point, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they were quick to tell him what men said. And then he said to them, now who do you? You. What do you know of me? So he's now asking for their personal revelation. What do you understand about me? And they were all quiet. But they walked with him for how many years now? But they were quiet. Then Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he told him that, listen, it is not because you read this. It's not because you were told this. I told you. I didn't tell you this. But flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. But my Father, the Spirit, which is in heaven, he had revealed this to you. So he had his revelation. And he said, upon that revelation, I will build my church. Now, and he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When it came to chapter 7 of Matthew here, he was saying that all of these I have said to you, all of these we have mentioned in Matthew chapter 5 that Jesus preached on. And he was telling them, because he preached on quite a lot of things, on prayers, on giving, on fasting. He preached on all the rudiments. And he said, all of these things I'm saying to you, they are building blocks. Now, if you build your life on them, upon the foundation, he said, you will be likened unto a man that built his house on a rock. And because you built your house on a rock, note that when he's building his church, the house now is the church. When he's building this church, he's expecting that rain will come. Persecution will come. Offense will come. He's expecting that the wind will blow. He's expecting that, he mentioned some floods will come. And whether or not you build on the rock or on the sand, all of this will come. So what will determine if your house is actually built on the rock is if it stands or it falls. And mind you, Jesus Christ was only trying to warn us earlier so that we don't build. Because, you know, when it comes to building here, what are the fivefold ministry given for? For the edification of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry, and for the perfecting of the saints, right? Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11. Now, when you use the word for the edification of the edifying of the body of Christ, edifying means building, right? Now, when it comes to building, the word is from the Latin word edificare. Edifying, edificare, which means edifice. And edifice is more like from a French word, right? And when you use the word edifice, we naturally won't use it for a smaller building, right? We use it for something grand, something impressive. So you say, oh, this is an edifice, right? So now, God is building something impressive. So our lives, when we come as a church, we are building something very impressive, something grand. But now, what are you building it on? Your revelation, whoo, top notch. Your knowledge of the Godhead, wow, so good. It's impressive. Your knowledge of the rapture, wonderful, it's grand, it's impressive. All the knowledge you have, good. But what is it built on? Because if you are building it not on the foundation of reality, you are building it on just the presence of knowledge. And not on reality. What happens at the end of the day? You will notice that the Bible says that it will, when the flood comes, when the rain comes, when the wind blows, what happens? The Bible says it will fall. Now, to tell you how that building that you have built, how impressive it is, how that it's not a small building, is that when it falls, the Bible says that great will be the fall. If the building is not great, it will not have a great fall, right? For instance, you will compare if, peradventure, God forbid, this building falls, the satellite that will pick this, you will not compare it to when the wall of China falls, when the wall of China falls, right? The whole world will know. Because it's a great monument, right? Compared to this particular building, right? So, if that's what Jesus is saying. He said, great will be the fall. Because the building is great. But regardless how great the building is, if it is, does not have the foundation, the rock, the foundation of the revelation of reality, then it will fall. Are we together? You get that? So, it's not that, oh, the revelation of Jesus Christ is not what I know. It's what is able to produce. Amen? So, if it does not produce, it means you have not really founded your faith upon a solid ground. If you did, it will produce. Amen? So, looking at the scripture, I think I feel more at home right now. So I can preach, right? Amen. So, now, we see this particular scripture in, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, our text. And brother, you can help me. Verse 9 and verse 9. Let's start with verse 9.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Blessed are the peacemakers. Thank you. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Are we children of God this morning? Or this afternoon, yes. So, we are children of God, right? So, it depends. Are we peacemakers? Okay. Are we saying the smile doesn't give me the it looks as if we are not peacemakers. Are we peacemakers? Okay. So it means that Jesus is saying, note, Jesus said, except you are poor in spirit, you cannot have the kingdom of God, right? So it means everyone that has the kingdom of God is poor in the spirit. Is that true? Right? Now, except you mourn, you will not be comforted. It means that everyone that has received comfort from God has in one way or the other mourned. And we understood in the morning what that meant. Now, we see that everyone that will inherit the earth will be meek. And you know, the meekness, you know, Moses was the meekest man in the Old Testament. But as meek as he was not still approachable, because there was a time the light of God shone and the people could not see him. They could not come close to him. But Jesus was so great and yet he was approachable. You know? So he said, these are the people that will inherit the kingdom of the earth. And he said, except you hunger and thirst, except you have that desire, you cannot be filled. That's why, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So except you have that desire, that's when the filling comes. So, you can see one is dependent on the other. So now, except you are a peacemaker, you cannot be termed the child of God, the children of God, or the son of God. Are we together now? So, I want to ask again, are you a peacemaker? It means you are a son of God, you are children of God, right? So, I want to ask, that means we, in our environments, maybe at work, I know that Singapore is not so much of a social city like back home in Africa or in other, you know, smaller nations where in your homes you have neighbors you can relate with very well compared to here is work life, you know, everyone is trying to, yeah. But at least at work you meet people. Don't you meet those who are not believers and they are peacemakers? Do you see them? Do you meet such kind of people? Who knows how to settle and, you know, scores between, oh, no, you don't have to do this. Okay, it's fine. They know how to, they have this emotional intelligence, you know. They can. So, and yet, they are not children of God. So, was Jesus actually referring to trying to bring, solve matters between two or three parties, you know, reconciling, no. That's not what he's saying. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. Do you know who the peacemaker is? The first is Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. And what did he do? He is our peace, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. He is our peace because he had broken the partition wall between God the Father and us. So he had broken that wall and made peace. Remember, the book of Ephesians chapter 2 told us that we are enmity with God. So, because of sin, but Jesus came and made peace. And that's why he's called the Prince of Peace by the sacrifice he made, right? And then he has given us that same spirit of peace and the spirit of reconciliation that we can be able to reconcile someone else to God, making peace between that person and God. That's what makes us peacemakers. So, if you, this morning, you have never brought someone to God, I'm sorry, we have to start questioning if you are really a peacemaker. That's the truth. We are speaking the Bible, right? So, we don't come to God and then somebody brought you to God. And then you act like a son who tells his father, Oh, mom, you know what? Dad, you know what? I want to become a reverend father. And he forgot that he was giving birth too. If he was giving birth too, he wasn't giving birth too. If his father was a reverend father, he would not have existed. I don't know if you get that. Someone comes and tells his dad, imagine me coming to tell you, maybe you're my father, then I come and tell you, oh, and that, Brother Paul, I want to be a reverend father. You know, reverend father, they don't get married, right? Priests, right? And you would just ask me, if you were a reverend father, would I exist? No. So it's the same thing. Someone has brought you, has made peace between you and God. And God is giving you the blessing and say, you also go make peace between someone else and God. But you have blocked the line and said, no, I'm okay with this peace with God. I don't want someone else. So you want to enjoy the peace with God and yet you don't want someone else to do that. So we have to check, are you really a peacemaker? Am I really a peacemaker? When I was coming on the flight and a young boy came and a young man just came, sat beside me. Yes, I was anxious. I couldn't sleep on the flight. And unlike the previous time when I flew, this was quite different. So I was a bit tensed. My mind on a lot of things, you know. And I just tried to bow my head. I brought out my tablet to read because I had my Bible packed like this. And it was looking like a monument to me. I think it's too precious. I can't open it. That's why I had to remove it. I had to remove it this morning and say, no, I need my Bible rough and rugged the way it is. So I had my tablet. So I opened it to read some scriptures and I was just there. I was still a bit heavy, so I bowed my head. And the Lord laid in my hand and said, look at that young boy. He's not just sitting by you. There's something he needs. Because every man that comes by you is in need of something. But you don't know. You think you are the one in need. No, he's the one in need. There's something you have that he doesn't have. And what is that? That is the peace of God. That is the light of God. And you have to shine it. So I turned to the young man and I started asking him questions. He's a Muslim and he was kind of giving me the reasons why he's traveling for school. And the Lord was telling me, no, this young man is not traveling for school. He's just using that as a camouflage. And I told him, you're not traveling for school. You're traveling for something else. And he looked at me and said, why do you say that? I said, because the Lord told me that. He was quiet. And I said, give me your contact. I got his contact and I said, you're traveling to the UK, right? Don't worry, we'll communicate. I've sown a seed in his heart, right? He's going to go there and be troubled. I know that. Yeah, he's going to be troubled. And then when we finish discussion, he will be fellowshipping with the brethren in the UK. Yes, that I know. I know. And when I was coming, I said, Lord, you have given me this one in my hand. Is my first fruit as I'm going to Fiji. Yes. There's a whole lot I know I have to face in Fiji. I don't know what will befall me. Yes, God has promised. But whatever is before me is not greater than that soul. Because if I must be a son of God, I must make peace. Amen. So it is not enough to come to church and sit down and sing and worship the Lord. And then people are out there dying. Oh, Singapore is a very tough country, strict with laws. It's not as strict as northern Nigeria, where you have people in Sharia law, holding the Sharia law. Or at Lebanon, where Brother Nice will mention places like Vietnam, where they had to worship in the ceiling, very hot. No, Vietnam can be very hot. In the ceiling there. No, it can't be as strict as that. You can meet someone and talk about business. You can also meet someone and talk about the word of Christ. You can also be led. So, God is saying that you cannot be the children of God if you don't make peace. If you are not a peacemaker, and peacemaker does not mean solving problems for people. Oh, you have, you say, okay, I think I know how to do this. No, that's not. No, you don't have to quarrel, you don't have to fight. It's not settling the score between Azel and Joshua. No, that's not what makes you a peacemaker, no. It is your ability to bring, to make peace between another and God. That's why he has given us the spirit of reconciliation. That ministry, so that we can call someone to him. Jesus said that he came, God has sent him to raise sons. And he's not going to do that all by himself, but he will do that through us. And I want to link this to verse 14. It's quite important here. And I want us to see that. Let's compare this. Please follow.
Ye are the light of the world.
Yes.
He that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen. Amen. So now, here, he's saying, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, right? So God says, we are the light of the world. And I believe that we are the light. And being the light, we are given the light so that we can be children of light. You see that in scriptures. We can read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If we read, I think verse 5. Verse 5 will help.
Ye are the children of light.
Yes.
And the children of the day.
Okay.
We are not of the night, nor of the night. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us walk and be sober. For they that sleep in the night.
They that sleep in the night.
And they that be drunken are drunken in the night.
Yes.
But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who died for us. And whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
Amen.
Therefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as he has also ye do.
Amen. That's fine. Thank you. So, you can see that Paul here, speaking to the church in Thessalonica, he told them, you are not children of the night, that is of darkness. But you are children of the day, that is of light. And today we could say we are children of the message. We have a message that came to us that shone on our path as a light, right? So we cannot afford to act as though we are children of the night. Because what happens to those in the night? They do what? They sleep, right? They sleep. But though in the day, we are fully aware. So we can see John chapter, I'm just going to read this, John chapter 12 verse 36, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. In Ephesians, you can read Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8.
For ye were sometimes darkness, but now I keep light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light.
So God, thank you. God wants us to walk as children of light because God is light. John told us that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. So if God is light and we are children of God, it means we are children of the light, right? We are children of this message. We are children of the word of God. We are children of the expression of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It means, and we must walk in it. Amen. So, now that we are children of light, light exposes darkness. Light exposes our works. if it is good or evil. And that's why you see that when Jesus came, he was the light of the world. Being the light of the world, a lot of people never wanted to encounter him because their works were evil. The Bible said that. So their works being evil, they had to hide themselves away from Jesus so that their works would not be exposed. But those who were waiting and expecting, they were ready to receive the light of the life of God so that they can be able to express it. Amen. So Jesus said here how we should shine. But I would like us to understand when Jesus was speaking about the light. John chapter 8 verse 12. You are the light of the world. John 8 verse 12.
Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world.
Yes.
He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness.
Will not walk in darkness.
Shall have the light of life.
Amen. Thank you, brother. So, when Jesus was telling us in Matthew, and he's still speaking to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, when he said, you. He didn't say another. He said, you. You are the light of the world. Right? Now, he told us when we look at light to the Orientals, we should have a better understanding. The lights were, they didn't use torchlights. They didn't use this kind of bulbs and all of those things. They used what is called a lamp. Right? So, and it means Jesus was speaking from the concept of the lampstand and the candlesticks, right? That's why I said that in verse 14, verse 13, neither do men light a candle. Now, the word candle there, you could also use the word lamb. It's a lamb because it's a lamb that you light up, not the candle itself. The candlestick was just something that the lamb would stand on. So there was a lamb. And if you go to the Old Testament, I would just like us to quickly, I'm very conscious of time now because it's afternoon, so that we can go rest. So let me quickly see Exodus chapter 25. Now, this was the preparation of the temple. And during the preparation of the temple, when God was trying to tell Moses, give instruction to Moses what he should do. He started with from inward, then outward. That is inside out. So he started first with the Ark of the Covenant. Then he entered into the Table of Shewbread. That is Ark of the Covenant, which is inside the most holy place. Coming out to the Table of Shewbread. Then the candlesticks. It tells you how important they are. Then talk about the Ark itself, the tabernacle itself, the altar of incense. Then it went further before it gets out to the court, the things that have to be in the court. So he started from inside out. That is, it proceeds from himself. But when we see, we always see from things that start from us, from outside inward, right? So I'll explain that much later. God is always, what we see of God first is the works. Then we get to know the word. Then we get to gain his spirit. But what God brings forth first is his spirit. It is the spirit of God that produces the word of God. The word of God produces the works of God. But what we see first is the works. And we'll see that as we proceed. So let's look at Exodus chapter 25 verse 31.
And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten wood shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bows, his knobs, and his flowers shall be of the same. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it. Three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bows made like unto almonds, like with a knob, and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knob and a flower. So in the six branches that come out of the candlestick. under two branches of the same, and the north under two branches of the same, and the north under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knobs and their branches shall be of the same, all of it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it.
Thank you. God bless you, sir. So now, here, he's saying the description of the candlesticks. It's one candlestick with six branches to make it seven, right? And then, but what would bring forth the light is the lamb. So there are seven lamps. And then you will make these lambs. But the lambs, when it's made, there is something has to be, there's a pipe that connects the lamb, the thread to the lamb to ensure that it's able to lit fire, right? That's how a candles, a lampstand looked like in the to your renters in the old days. Then, beyond that, it is not just the lamb. If you just have the lamb and then you lit up the thread, the fire cannot last. It might not even burn. There's something that is needed to ensure that that lamb burns. And what is that? The oil. Right? So there needs to be oil. So in Exodus chapter 27 verse 20, God commanded that they provide, that the people bring an offering of the oil, of beaten works, olive oil, so that it can be poured on the lamb so that it can produce light. And not just producing light, it has to produce light continually. Right? So it's a continual, it's something that the light must not go out. Right? So, it means that when Jesus was speaking about that we are light of the world, he was looking at us as a lamb, a burning lamb, right? That when we lit up our lamb, we should ensure that that lamb keeps burning. We should not cover it. The lamb is not to be covered. It ought to be exposed, but not to be covered. Now, this lamb, you see that there are three things that we see: the lamb, the oil, which will produce the light. Now, we know that the oil definitely is the Holy Ghost, right? It's the anointing. We see that the seven spirits of God was like the lamb of fire burning before the presence of the Lord. The Holy Ghost is the oil, the anointing that comes upon the lamb. Now, what is the lamb? The lamb, the word, the Bible psalmist says that the word, thy word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my what? Path. Now, notice that lamb to my feet and a light to my path, thy word. So, when the word of God is a lamb, when you start making the move, it produces the light. You don't just have the word of God and you fold your hands. It will not be a light. You have to make a move. When you start moving, that's when the light comes. Are we together? So it's a lamp to my feet, but now is a light to my path. Are we together? So, you have the oil, the lamp, and the light. You have the spirit, the word, and the works. Hallelujah. Amen. So, John chapter 1. Let's look at John chapter 1, from verse 1 to 5.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Amen. Thank you. So, you notice that in the beginning was the Word. So when you hear the Word, know that the Bible said that in Him the Word was life, spirit. And this was a spirit that produces the works in the Word. So this was the spirit that went forth to create. So it is the spirit, what we see most times is the works. Today we know God because we can see His works. And we come to know by revelation that it is His Word that brought forth that those works. But beyond that, there is an anointing, there is a spirit, there is a life, right? That powers the word. Amen. Otherwise, to us, me speaking here, I can go learn certain things and come speak. If there is no vindication, if there is not an anointing upon my life, then what I'm speaking is philosophy. It does not carry life. But there's difference between any man speaking and when it is the word of God, carried by the anointed of God. What will it produce? It produces life. Because the Bible says something. He said that the word of God is quick and powerful. The word quick means that it's alive. Not just alive, it goes beyond being alive, because every man is alive. But the word of God is alive. It's quick means that it's alive, not just alive, but it's able to make alive. It's a life that is able to give life. I don't know if we are together. So that's why this is the light that lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. The actual word is verse 9 of John chapter 1. This is the light that lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. I think the actual translation ought to be, this is the light that lighteneth every man by its coming into the world. So it is not you that came into the world and received the light. It is Jesus that came into the world and gave you the light. I don't know if you get that. So when he came into the world, he lightened the people. And who today he has lightened us. That's why he said we are children of light. Are we together? Are we together? So now we see that the light is the life of man today. What we carry today. However, this light, what was it given for? Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. What was the light in the temple? What was it given for? Just a light? No. It was given so that the priest there could see and be able to carry out the works, the sacrifice. Right? Before God could create anything, the first thing he did was, he said, let there be light. Right? So the light lightened up so that God can create. Without light, there is no work. Right? So now, let's see that the Bible should, we compare spiritual things with spiritual, right? So let's see in John chapter 9. If we can just carefully read John chapter 9. Verse 1-6. Please, brother, you can sit down. Thank you.
And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.
So that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So Jesus wants to do the works. Now go on, brother, please.
I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work.
Okay.
As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
So I thought they were just asking the question of what happened to this man? Why is Jesus going through all of this? I used to think that maybe some persons are just better preachers than Jesus, you know? By the way, he was the word of God, so how can he be explaining himself? Amen. But we see Jesus, who made this? What happened? Why? Is it the sin of this man that fell on him? Or the sin of his father that fell on him? Why he was blind? Because when the man was blind, when we say blind here, the man was not blind. No, that's not the case. It's not that he was blind by having issues with his eyes. The man was deformed. So he had no eyes physically. Like, this place was covered. So there were no sign of any eye. So that's why, because it's not the first time Jesus was healing a blind man. But this time, this one looked quite different. There was no formation of eye. There was no socket. So when they saw him, it was terrible. And they told Jesus, this is not normal. There must be a cause for this. And Jesus said, no, there is no cause. The problem is not from the man. Rather, God wants to do his work. But before he can do his work, he has to do his work in the day. And when he means the day, because there needs to be light. You get that? So he said, as long as I am in the world, I am that light. Because I carry the light, then I can be able to produce the work. Amen? So now, he began, then he told the man, created a spittle, and then put it on his eyes, and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So, you see that the light of Jesus produced the work of God, right? So, when we say, let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify the Father. At first, when I used to read that scripture, I used to think that, oh, let my light shine that men might see my good character and, you know, glorify God. No, no, no. If your son behaves well in school, or if you behave well as a man at work, who will they praise? You as a man, not your son, you. If you behave well at work, you do the right things. Who would they praise? You. Not your father. It's you they will praise. He's a good man. I think he has built emotional intelligence over the years. He built some skills. If you do well, they'll praise you. Yes. But this time, when he says, let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify the Father, there's something that you will do that the glory cannot be accrued to you. It has to be accrued to God. That is the work he's talking about. So, but here, we see Jesus is now saying that you are the light of the world. He has shown that he is the light of the world, and in being the light of the world, he has exhibited his works. But what did he say to us? You know, God does not outsource his work. You know, you go and do it. No. That's why in creation, in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28, is it verse 22 or 28? He said, the works of my hands. He said, he created all this in by myself. I created the heavens and the earth. They are the works of my hand. So God takes glory in his work. That's why when he created the heavens and the earth, he saw that they were good. It was good. He takes glory in his work. So it is not your work. It is God's work. So when he wants to do his work, he does it in the life of his children. It is God that wills both to will and to do of his good pleasure in us. So it is God that does his work, not we. But now that you are the light of the world, what is the work that God wants us to do? If I ask you, I know we are well taught by the grace of God. If I ask you, what is the work of God? What is the work of God? We will quote scriptures like John chapter 6, verse 28. John 6, verse 28. Let's go there. And I would really appreciate if we all can read together 28 and 29. John chapter 6. Or if I read verse 28, I would like us all to respond verse 29. That doesn't mean I'm Jesus, please. Just reading. Okay, verse 28 here says, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? Verse 29. Okay. So, what is the work where we have to do? Believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? Then you've done the work of God. If this is how we read the scripture, then there is a problem somewhere. There is a problem somewhere. If this is all we read the scripture, we just take it and then we run with it. Oh, I believe Jesus, so I've done the work of God. Then there's a problem somewhere. Now, let's go to the same John chapter 14, verse 12. Please remember, what is the work of God? To do what? To believe in whom God has sent. Has God sent Jesus? Yes, so we believe in Jesus. So John chapter 14, please, can we all read verse 12? I say unto you, think me, the works that I do, ye shall do also. And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. So, do you believe? Do you believe? So, it means that if you believe Jesus, you will do his work. Not that if you believe Jesus, you have done his work. That's not it. So the previous scripture seems as though, if I believe Jesus, I have done his work. No. It is, if I believe Jesus, I will do his work. I don't know if you should get that. Are we together? So when we come to God, we must understand, even Mark chapter 16, the same very simple scripture says it. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 17. Go into the world, preach the gospel to every nation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Right? And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. Now the works. Are we together? So, if you are the light of the world, for you to be a peacemaker, right? For you to be a child of God, you have to be a peacemaker. But you cannot be an effective peacemaker without the light. Without carrying, shining the light by doing the works. Else, you only go and indulge in, you know, conversation, philosophy. Oh, brother, and young man, please, you know, see, Jesus loves you. Everybody knows that. And he'll tell you, oh, I love him too. Amen. So it means you have to have the oil upon your life, which is the Spirit of God, and believe the word of God so that you can be able to produce the works. That way, you will lead many to Christ. So, there must be something about fundamental about our belief that we may not be getting right. That we need to at least come back and put a structure on it and say, oh no, I need to believe well. Because it seems that many have believed and yet no works. Many have believed and yet no fruit. Many have believed and yet we know they can make peace between men and God. That's why I started by saying that from the scripture, I started from the end. By saying, all of these, the revelation of God is a reality. Right? That the foundation first. How you know that you've been built upon a solid foundation is not by only what you know, is by what it's able to produce. The light is able to produce. So that we will not run and think, oh, I am going, I'm running the race. And at the end of the day, we find out that, oh, I had everything to run the race, but how come when I go to Jesus, I'm supposed to submit my cross and take a crown? And when you submit the cross, you are where God is giving you an empty crown, no stars. And it's like, then what have I, what, there's no benefits from the crown, just an empty crown. Amen. So, it is not about, oh, I believe Jesus. It is not about, oh, I know the message of the hour. My pastor is Brother Nice. My pastor is, wonderful Brother Gan. My pastor is this. Do you know my church? I am from Live Assurance Tabernacle in Lagos. The man who has traveled around preaching the gospel. You know, I was telling some testimonies yesterday about how Brother Nice prayed for someone over the phone. He was in Nigeria. He just came back after when they heard of the so many testimonies. So someone in Australia called and said, I have the sister in Germany who has been sick for a long time. She's I can't describe that kind of what's wrong with her, but it was very terrible. And he was like, please just pray for her. I said, okay. And he prayed for the person, for her, like not really praying for her. He was praying for her, but not to her, not directly to her. So the person who held the phone and he prayed right there from Nigeria. His prayer was directed from Nigeria to Australia, right? While the person was in Germany. So the person picked up the phone and called the sister. Hello, sister, Brother Nice just prayed for you. And she fell. And immediately got her healing. And the thing started spreading all around. Now, you will not expect that person, I don't care what he has said about God in the past. I don't care the amount of atheist he has been. He has seen the power of God. There's no how she will not believe. She would believe. A soul has been won because someone has demonstrated the works. I don't know if you get that. But we cannot sit still and expect that because we know, then we expect that by me passing someone, you should know. I know. You know? You pass your neighbor on the or at work, you get to work and you're working. Can this person know that I know I have a revelation? He should know and also have the same revelation. It doesn't work that way. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. That you must indulge. You must indulge this thing. You must place a demand on it. Are we together? You must place a demand on it. Otherwise, we will come to this world. We will leave this world, and yes, we bear no fruits. And when Jesus will be asking us, will he be ready to ask us that when we really didn't bear any fruits? What did you come to this world to do? Why did I call you into the kingdom? Oh, I live a good life. I got married. I sang in church. I did this. That's not what God wants to know. He said, we must bear fruit. And our fruit must abide. We cannot come and relax and feel that, oh, heaven is here. No, that's not true. Though Jesus could not be speaking, was Jesus short-sighted when he said, the harvest is near, but laborers are few. Was he short-sighted? No. Indeed, laborers are few. Laborers are few. God wants people out there. When I was living, people came to me. Brother Joshua, do you really have to go? You can bring Sister D here we love what you're doing here. The Lord is using, and I said, oh, you think that heaven is here? No, there is work out there to be done. God is interested in the field. He's interested in the souls. So the problem we have in the New Testament church, the first problem we had was what brought about persecution? Why did God allow persecution first? And was that when they received the Holy Ghost, they start big men with the elders in the church of Jerusalem. They became a stumbling block and they start there and they were like judging and sending support. Just there, cold. And God looked at them and said, the Acts of the Holy Ghost would not have been written if they were all in Jerusalem at once. What would be written of them? The book of Acts, tell me how many of the works were done in Jerusalem. How many? Check it from Acts chapter 1 to the end. How many of them were done in Jerusalem? God had to send persecution and scatter them. Then they went to Antioch. To all the places, they started moving. Peter started moving. If persecution had not come, they would all sit in one place and be telling, no, you are a Gentile. You cannot be in the council of the Jews. You are not circumcised. You cannot be here. No, you eat dog. You should not be. You eat pig. You should not be a Christian. That's what they would have been doing. That's what they started doing at first. But when God saw that these people, They want to, this was not the plan of the church. When he said, I will build my church, this is not the edifice I was talking about. He sent persecution upon them. And mind you, Brother Bram spoke about the squeeze. I hope you know that. It's coming. We have to be prepared for it. For those who are still sitting and feeling so comfortable in just, hallelujah, praise the Lord, it's coming. And when it comes, you will understand that there is need not to stay in Jerusalem. I have left my own Jerusalem. Yes, I have left my own Jerusalem. It's not that I wasn't working. Yes, we went for missions. Yes, we established ministries. Yes, we did this, but I have left my own Jerusalem. I'm going to my own Antioch to go find those whom I can raise, who I can harvest for the Lord. You don't need to sit back in Jerusalem, in your Jerusalem, and say, oh, I'm comfortable. The Lord is doing great things here. What great thing is he doing? Oh, it's not that very easy here. It's not very easy everywhere. We need to awake. What the scripture said, he said that, awake all ye that sleepeth, and God will give you light. The reason why we are not shining is not because we don't have the light. It's not because God is not there to give us the light. It's because we are sleeping. Children of God, yes, we are sleeping. And we are not acting as though we are children of the light. We are acting as though we are children of the night. Because in the night, what happened? We sleep. So we are still thinking that we are still in the night. Oh, well, Brother Abraham has come and done everything. Oh, Brother Gan has come and established everything. Brother Dice has come and established everything. Where is the young generation that will carry this gospel? If God tarries in the next 70 years, some of us, or most of us, will not be here. I myself will not be here. Do I really want to live 100 and something plus years? No. What do I need that for? If the Lord permits, yes, what? We'll not be here. So what happens if we cannot have, what is the assurance that this light will continue? What is the assurance that this breaking will continue? If we sit still and all we want to do is praise the Lord, sing the same routine every day, every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Friday. How do you think it will be that I will come in the next 3 years and I'll meet the same set of people in the same assembly all the time? No. I am sure that by the time I'll be leaving this place and going back to Lagos, even let's say I go back by flight now to Lagos the next Sunday, I'm going to meet somebody I never met when I left. Yes. I tell them in church the same thing. The first Sunday of this month, of this year, when I was to preach to them, if I can even remember the topic because I had quite a number of messages, but it was about God's intention, God's purpose. It is not, you are not coming into the new year to say, Lord, thank you. Oh, this year I want to achieve this. This year I want to do this. I want to do that. What does God want to achieve in your life this year? I said, it is for you to bear fruit. It is for you to bear fruit. So we cannot continue in the same pattern, in the same mood, every time we are going, and then there's no harvest. Are we together? Hallelujah. So you need to awake. Romans chapter 13 verse 11.
And that, knowing the mind, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe.
Amen. Our salvation is nearer. That is, the coming of the Lord is closer now than the time when we believed. So if it is closer, you think that we are waiting for the coming of the Lord. No, God is waiting for us. We think that, oh, I'm waiting for the coming of the Lord. Whereas God is saying, no, I'm waiting for you. You are still here. You have not moved and you want me to come. Remember, we are meeting in the air. He's not coming down. We have to meet in. So, but you have not made a move. You are still sleeping. I am still sleeping and I want to meet in the air. No, he's waiting for me. He can come. He can come swiftly. But how swiftly can you move? So you have to move gradually until you meet him in the air. I don't know if you're getting me. So the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, right? He walked. He didn't just sit. He walked with God. And then he had a testimony that he pleased the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a way God wants us to make peace. There is a way God wants us to shine the light. And that way is that we are a lamp that has been oiled, that the oil has been poured on, and then we are lighted up. And when we are lighted up, we are not to cover. Don't cover it. I don't like a place where I go to and then the pastor, he preaches, he sings, he prophesies. All the giftings, everything is just the pastor. So everybody's eyes is on the pastor, is on the pulpit. Somebody needs prayer, he cannot call on the brother. Brother, I know a brother who has got the gift of healing. Oh, brother, please, I prayed for this matter, but I keep having this issue. Please, could you help? Could you pray with me? And then the brother prays, and then there's recovery. No, you can't find that. All everybody is expecting is the pastor. So the pastor is called around 2 a.m. The pastor is called upon around 3 a.m. The pastor cannot sleep. The pastor has a prayer meeting and all of those kind of things. And then it's the pastor, the pastor, the pastor, the pastor. The church is dead, all looking at the pastor. It's not producing anything. Then what? Why are you a pastor? Everybody's just looking up to you. I'm not saying the church shouldn't look up to the pastor. Yes, there should be, but the pastor should be able to raise men. You know, I see that in some places, I remember when I was talking with someone, I don't want to mention places here, and I said, "Ah, where's your pastor? Oh, he traveled." Okay? No, the question was, I'm looking for you, your fellowship online. I'm not seeing the meetings for this week. Oh, sorry, my pastor traveled. Okay? Your pastor traveled, and so what? There's no meeting this week. Or I'll show you another link. He's preaching from where he traveled to. And so, you, where are you now? We are home. No gathering. We'll just stay at home and listen to our pastor preach. Maybe from his hotel or somewhere. That's demonic. Yeah, sorry to use that word, but that's demonic. So it means that when once the man leaves the pulpit, he goes with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one now using the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is like, I'll follow you anywhere you go. I'll follow you anywhere you go. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing. The Holy Ghost cannot come upon anyone. So no one can prophesy. Such a man, when he sees a gift of prophecy, he kills it. He sees a gift of healing. Oh, this guy, you're trying to take my place. Be careful. So he quenches it. So the power of God cannot flow in such environments. The fact that, yes, we spoke in the morning of how we must ensure that order be kept in the church when the gifts are operating doesn't mean that there should be no gifts at all. If there are no gifts at all, there's a problem. If the gifts are in this order, there's a problem. So then we need to create a balance. Are we together? Paul even spoke about how that he will come among the Romans so that he can impact some spiritual gifts. So you cannot have a church who is just there. The same thing, routine, every day. Every week we come. No expectation. I was giving a testimony in church of one of the young brothers I raised. He was ministering, And then I was sitting down there, and I had the pain on this leg. But most times, the devil has got this trick. A minister can be ministering, and then he calls, if you have this particular pain, maybe the Lord lifts him and said, I see you have this particular pain. Please identify for prayers, and then you will forget that you have that. Maybe that point in time, the pain does not surface. But God so kind, when he mentioned that, there is someone here having a pain in the leg, the Lord just revealed. And immediately the pain came up on my knee, because I usually had it at work. And then I stood up. He was shocked. Oh, no, not Brother Joshua. I said, yes, I'm the one. And I came down and I knelt down. And he was like, stand up. No, I knelt down. No, you pray. Pray for me. Yes. And he prayed for me and I left. Till today, there's no pain. That pain is gone. But what if I had said, I raised you. I taught you the word. I used to invite you to prayer so I can pray for you. If I prayed for you, would that happen? No. You will carry the pain. I will carry the pain. Maybe I'll be praying, expecting that God must use me to heal me. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. That's not true. I'm not saying that God cannot use me to heal me, right? God cannot use me as an instrument. But God chooses how to carry his work. Not you or myself. So it has to be according to his will. Because the purpose of the grace of God is in your life is to carry out the works of God. And the purpose of the work is for the salvation. Because the works of God involves creation and salvation and redemption, adoption. So all that we do must point back to creation, must point back to salvation, and must point back to redemption. Are we together? But we must not deny the power of God in the church of God. We must not sit still and expect that when Jesus comes, he will just be pleased with us because, I did not join the denomination. I did not leave the church. I did not do. No, that's not. Did not. You did not. But what did you do? Yes, I did not. But what did you do? Are we together? So, that candle, this light, he said, let your light so shine that men might see your good works, and that is where they can glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That your Father makes you that you are a son of God, right? You are a child of God. Just as we say, the peacemaker is a child of God. This one now, when you do the works of God, they glorify your Father. If you have a father, it means you are a son, right? Or a daughter. A son of God is both. Is not masculine or feminine. It contains all of us. So sisters, don't be bothered when I use the word sons. It's both brothers and sisters. So it means that we are sons. It means that you are a son of God when you do the works of God. God will glorify the Father. Now, but there's a way he expects us to shine this light. He says here, in the same Matthew chapter 5, as we conclude, we draw a conclusion. Neither do men light up a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, God is saying that when you light, you have a light. Right? We all have the light. Maybe we are yet to discover that light. Maybe we are yet to move with the light. We have the lamp lighted up. We are yet to move to produce the work. But let's say we start producing the work. Now, he's saying that don't cover it. And neither should you shine like a wandering star. Just shine everywhere. Oh, I'm shining. Oh, Brother Joshua said I should go and shine. I'm shining. No. He said, how do you shine is that you take that lamp and you put it where? On a candlestick. On the candlestick. Now, it shows you because that is where, on the candlesticks, that is where God identifies and recognizes your work. I don't know if you get that. Because in the book of Revelation, all the church ages, he kept saying, I know thy works. Why? Because their works were on the candlestick, right? The church, seven church ages are on the candlesticks, right? Are we together? I'm speaking to those who understand the book of Revelation, right? So they are on the candlestick. So it can say, I know thy works. I know thy works. And Jesus was found in the midst of the candlesticks. So your lamp must be on the candlesticks, not anywhere. So you may have works, but if your works are not found in the right place, you know what will happen. Let's go there. Let's go there in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus was concluding. He says here in verse 20.
Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
Okay?
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Okay?
But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Okay?
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. So now, many will say, Brother Joshua, I'm going to Jesus because just as Jesus, through the word, has said, do the works. I have done the works. Great works in your name. And then they will come to Jesus and said, Master, look at me. See that works that Rajesh was talking about in Singapore. I have done it. In fact, greater works. The ones you talked about to the disciples, greater works than this shall you. I have done that. Greater works. And Jesus will say, depart from me. You that work what? Lawlessness. The word iniquity there is lawlessness. I never knew you. So they carry out the works, but they carried it out not lawfully. There was a pattern. There was an order that was set. So the works ought to be done. Your lamp ought to be burning. Your light ought to be burning. But on the candlestick, on the lamp, placed on the candlesticks. But now, you just made it like a wandering star. You just feel that, as I said in the morning, I have the gift of prophecy. So, the preacher just came up and is preaching. You just see somebody just stand up. Whoop! Thus says the Lord. Oh, this, that. And the preacher is speaking. Is God the author of confusion? Is God the author of confusion? No. So it means that there's a confusion somewhere. One will be of God, and the other, even if of God, there is a seed of discrepancy. There is lawlessness working. I don't know if you get that, brother. I don't know if you get that, sisters. So the work has to come in order. There has to be an order. Jesus, God wanted to create. He wanted man to fill the earth. He wanted, indeed, when God wanted believers, he was expecting all those believers today to be available. But I thought that he should have just called Brother Prasi. Brother Prasi, you come. Brother Infan, Brother Zoel, all of you just come to the earth. But first, he brought forth one man. When he wanted the new birth, I feel I would have been honored if you had just called me, Joshua, please, come on the earth. Come and be my son. But no, he brought forth Christ. And from him, other sons. So, God understands order. He is not lawless. Right? So, whatever you have to do, it has to be within the framework of God's order. So, Jesus Christ is not building. When you look at the structure of the church, he turned it to the structure of the body, and he called it the body of Christ, whereby you have the head. And the head, from the head, it carries all the senses that the body needs to function is in the head. And from there, signals are sent to the body, right? So, for this hand to do its work, the brain is aware. If this hand starts moving without the brain, then there's a problem, right? You run to the doctor. And who will even run to the doctor? By the way, it's still the brain. Yeah, it's still the brain that tells you to go to the doctor. So it means the brain actually will control everything. So Christ is the head, and it has his head ministry, and that ministry sends through Christ. Christ sends signals through that ministry to the body, and the body and the head both carry out the works. There must be order. So when I was traveling, I told, they asked me, why are you traveling at work? Please, why do you want to go? And I said, I'm going to be with my family. And they were like, we can't stop you. Oh, we miss you so much. We thought it was something we could reverse and maybe you could just come back. I'm like, no. And they understood that my family had been away for a year. And they were like, okay. But a lady, she's very, you know, fervent. She saw me when I went to submit the work stuffs, and she called and said, Mr. Joshua, Mr. Nice. He said, I know you. You're going for something that has to do with ministry as well. And I'm like, I looked at her. She said, yes, I know you. You do pastor, yeah? He said, but please. Why should I take that from a lady? But she said something very important. She said, please, don't make the same mistake that most servants of God do. Just submit your ministry to those who are ahead of you. And that rang the bell. And I'm like, yes, of course. I know too well to do that. But for these words to come, it's very significant. And I smiled, but I took notes. And it is very important. Oh, a young pastor. Oh, Brother Prassi. And you feel, oh, I have the anointing of God. So, I don't know the language to use. But there are those who have gone ahead, right? You have servants of God. We have Brother Andrew Peary. We have Brother the brother in Paris. We have those who you can always, run to and say, I have this challenge. I need guidance. God will not walk with you and say, oh, because I hear from God, that means I can't hear from man. That's not true. So, I'll give you an instance of Paul. The Bible made us to understand that when Paul was telling us that when he received the word of God, he said he did not confer with flesh and blood. He didn't go to meet someone and tell somebody, oh, I heard. No, no. When he heard, received the call of God, he went into the wilderness of Arabia and prayed there. But after prayers, when he came out, I thought he was just supposed to go and say, I have received the message of the Lord. I'm the first messenger to this generation. No. The Bible said that he went to the elders, right, of the faith, like Peter and the others, to confirm his faith. And in Acts chapter 13, Paul was anointed. He had the gift of the Holy Ghost. He had the ministry. They turned them teachers and prophets. They knew this man had a ministry. But one time they came together, it shows that they were not having personal ambitions. They came together and they were praying in Acts chapter 13, and then the Holy Ghost came forth and said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. That is, bring Paul and Barnabas. Among these prophets and teachers, I need two, Paul and Barnabas. For what? For the work of the ministry. And they laid hands on them and prayed and sent them forth. No demon can stop such. I'm telling you the truth. The confidence I have is not only because God sent me. The confidence I have is because I was able to go and kneel down before my elders and said, and they prayed on me and said, we as a church, we are sending you forth. I don't just wake up in the morning and I said, oh, I have a program in New Delhi. I'm just going. I have this thing, and then the pastor is not aware. The elders are not aware. How come? Even Brother Nice, when he wants to go for missions, he goes to the elders. He goes to those who are higher. Maybe in age, he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. But he still goes to those whom he himself laid hands on to ordain as elders. And he goes, he kneels down, and they pray on for him and send him forth. Yes. So we understand. So when he goes, he's going with knowing that he's a man under authority, and a man under authority is the one that can exercise authority. A soldier, when you see a soldier, you're afraid. Maybe not here, maybe if you come to Nigeria, or maybe in the Arab world as well, you see a soldier. When he comes around, you know this one is a man under, he comes like this, you're afraid. He's a man under authority. Right? But he's the man that can exercise authority. But you don't know that he's under authority. What gives him the power, that authority, is because he himself is under an authority. But if you are not under an authority, you cannot exercise authority. You will just be floating. You'll be a wandering star. After you finish shining, you come, and God said, I never knew your works. Where are they? Where are they? Oh, I did great things. Under who? Under which ministry? I've drawn the line. How come you're out of the line? Walk lawlessness. So there must be order as much as we must carry out the works. Hallelujah. So God is uniting us, is wanting us, is making us. These are the things that, as I said, we gotten matured as we go. Sometimes, as believers, we leave them along the road. The way, but they are needed for our journey. We need to grab them. We need to hold them back. We need to wear them as an element. We need to know that we have a hope that is coming, and God has a work to do in our lives. The Lord bless you richly. Hallelujah. Before we, I'll just hand over this. I want to pray with us. I don't know if there be anyone you have a request in your heart. I just want you to commit it unto the Lord this moment. He is more than able to do and to perform His work in our life. He is a healer. So don't be afraid of that situation that seems very strong. It may not be for you, but for someone else. God is able to deliver right now. He is a provider. So you may be in anticipation, just trust the Lord. He's a helper. You may feel depressed and you may feel threatened by man or by circumstances, but God is available to take care this moment. He's able to handle. So I want us to just place that in our hearts as we go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you. You have brought forth this word. Lord, as a young man, I have no power to speak except, Lord, by your Spirit. And Lord, you have given me this to speak, Lord, to your children, to bring them back, Lord, to the place that you have prepared for them, to enlighten their life and to give them the light of the word of God. To strengthen them and bring them to remembrance the things, O Lord, that you have taught them and that you have proven them with. And Lord, they have accepted your word. Your word doesn't come empty. It comes to achieve a purpose. And Lord, when it comes, it does not neglect, Lord, the cares, the troubles, the affection of your people. You are, Lord, our high priest who is touched within, Lord, with our infirmities. And you are able, O Lord, to heal and to deliver. So I proclaim this moment healing upon the lives of your children. As many that are sick, Lord, I pray that you restore their health back to them this moment in the name of Jesus. Deliver them from every stronghold of the enemy. Deliver them from every pain, Lord. every pain, every attack of Satan, Lord, in their lives, every infirmities, from this moment I pray that the name of the Lord be glorified in your life and every sickness will disappear in the name of Jesus. Let Jesus be lifted in your life and let everything that stands, oh, as an hindrance to the promise of God being made manifest in your life, from you to live the peaceful life that God has given to you, I command such to disappear from your life in the name of Jesus. I pray for the peace of God in your home. I pray for the peace of God in your life. I pray for the peace of God in, Lord, all that you do this moment in the name of Jesus. I pray that He will strengthen you, will keep you. I pray that the heart of your children this morning, this day, rather, Lord, I pray that it will receive solace. Lord, from every trouble billows, every trouble sea, Lord, I pray that peace be still in the name of Jesus. Lord, may you rough your work as men are in need of your gifts. Lord, your anointing upon their lives. I pray this moment that you stretch forth your hands and touch their lives. Lord, let may you anoint their spirits this moment. May they begin to carry out the works of God in the name of Jesus. That when they meet with you, O Lord, that they will be anointed enough to say to present, Lord, stars in their crowns in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we give you glory for all that you have done. Thank you for how you have led us this far. We pray that your name alone be exalted. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
The Lord bless you. Thank you.